What the Health with George Bertineau on FUBAR Radio.
Good morning and welcome to What the Health on FUBAR Radio with me, George Bertineau. If you're a regular listener, then welcome back. And if you're new around this neck of the woods, then here's a small bit of information about myself. I'm an online health and fitness expert. I have a BSc in sports rehabilitation, and I'm a former head of medical and performance in professional football. I've been a health and fitness expert for over a decade, and I've been helping real people feel better, move smarter, and get amazing results. If you are sick of dodgy influencers or people with amazing genetics giving you health advice online, you're in the right place, because every week I help you cut through the confusion of the internet, we discuss relevant topics, and we help you get clarity on these topics so that you can make better decisions in your own health and fitness journey. Each week I'll be joined by expert guests as we dissect trends and bust myths. This week we have Team GB Olympian and hockey player Tess Howard, who'll be joining us to break down her fitness and training regime, as well as her campaign to improve PE kit design, specifically for teenage girls, to boost their participation and confidence. However, right now, I'm joined in the studio by American footballer Balaji, who is going to be discussing sports, rising popularity, and specialized training regime. So, Balaji, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for asking.
Welcome to the studio. Talk to me. How was the journey in?
Long, but good.
Yeah, it was long. Okay, you came from far then, yeah?
Yeah, Southeast London.
Okay,
yeah.
Nice. Okay, right. We're going to jump straight into it.
Good.
First of all, tell us how you started playing American football and what drew you to the sport in the first place.
Good question. So around 2012, I think it was my dad. He lived in New York around the time I was born. Mm-hmm. So we already had a bit of that American culture. And around 2012, he started playing the football on the TV. So I saw the Seahawks when they were in their prime with the Legion of Boom and etc. And I just thought, this looks fun. Mm. And at the time, I just liked playing rugby. So I was a bit skeptical. And then about 2 years later, I think it was my younger brother found a club and said, let's try it out. And so we did. And then I haven't looked back since.
Okay, nice. Yeah. And what position did you play in rugby?
Rugby, I played... It depends on what age. I played a lot of positions, but my best was probably inside centre and winger.
Okay, so you're a good ball carrier, you're quick, you're powerful, that kind of position.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Nice. Which really bodes well with American football, right?
Yeah, it translates well.
Yeah, it really, really translates. Okay, right. So am I right in saying that the sport is growing a lot in the UK right now?
Yeah. In the past decade, yeah, it's grown tremendously. I think the biggest way to word it is if you actually look for American football, you'll find hundreds and thousands of people that support it. It's way more than you can imagine.
Yeah. I remember when I was at school, we had a chemistry teacher who played for, I think he played for England back when he was younger. And it was, well, I was like, we're talking a while ago. I'm old. And yeah, like even back then, I know it was popular. Because my biggest thing, right, I have a French background. So I see that in Europe, US sports are played a lot.
Yes.
Okay. Why do you think it's taken so long for it to grow in the UK compared to Europe? Because, like, they've got pro leagues for basketball in Europe, right?
Yes, and they do.
That in American sport, American football. American football's bigger, right?
Yes, yes, it's huge. In, especially in Germany, it's huge. They have, I mean, they have multiple leagues, GFL 1, GFL 2.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they have multiple levels.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yes, I think it's just popularity from the people that give the funding.
If okay.
If they're into it, then they can fund it all through the different levels. But if they're not into it, it gets stagnated and then it becomes tougher.
Yeah, okay. So it's basically all down to funding and the interest, because it's like, I guess it's down to sponsors and stuff as well. If someone doesn't want a sponsor, there's no money. Yeah. And we all know what guys and girls are like. We do it for the love and the passion of the sport and the thrill and the drive and all of that exhilarating moments. But if there's no funding behind it, it can make it tough, right?
It does make it tougher.
So,
especially because it's more expensive than most other sports.
Yeah, I was going to say, lots of kit?
The equipment, yeah, to go and buy a helmet by yourself can be upwards of £500.
Really?
So, yeah. It costs,
wow.
Obviously, clubs will help subsidise a lot of that, but if no one's funding from any level, you just can't play football.
Okay. Yeah, well, yeah, literally, you can't.
Yeah.
Let's talk about other equipment then. So pads, there are different types of pads. Let's run through that quickly.
So the main thing with the pads is it depends on the brand you like,
Yeah.
Their style differently. The main thing is, as a skill position, so someone that can catch and advance the ball.
You want light
smaller.
Ones.
Yeah. You want the smaller pads. They look better. And there's this mantra about if you look good and feel good, then you'll play better. So you kind of want a bit smaller. It's harder to tackle.
Yeah.
But then when you get to other levels, they might prefer, like the bigger guys, the linemen, they might prefer to have bigger pads.
Yeah.
Give them more area.
Okay.
And more maneuverability. So it just depends on your preference. And the helmet's the same.
Yeah.
There's a big trend of certain brands become popular and then lose popularity, and it goes up and down in almost cyclical fashion.
Okay. Yeah, well, it's like with anything, right? If you feel good, you play better. Well, 100%. You should, technically.
100%.
Like with boots.
Yes.
You know, you guys use cleats, right?
Yes, cleats.
Okay, cool. Right, interesting. And do you think American football could become a mainstream sport in the world over the next decade, if it isn't already in your eyes?
Yes, I think, especially with the fact that it's now going to be in the Olympics with flag football.
That's really cool.
Yeah,
that's seriously,
I think it's
going to
put it on the map.
Yeah.
It's already in countries people don't really think about. Japan has professional leagues, and a couple other countries in that side of the world, they have their own leagues where they pay players. And it's just a case of, again, if the higher-ups want it funded, it'll be funded. Because it is an exciting game. It can sell out a stadium.
Yeah.
But you need to know if it's going to on a regular basis before they invest.
Yeah, of course.
That's the main thing.
Now, as someone who knows that a game can last a long time, for the listeners,
yes,
rugby is 80.
Yes.
Football is 90.
Yeah.
American football is how long?
Technically, it's 60.
Yeah.
But your game can go, if it's a really long game, let's say you're passing the ball a lot because that stops the clock less. You can go upwards of 2 hours, 3 hours.
Yeah.
You can get up there in time just because the clock starts and stops and starts and stops. It gets up there.
Yeah, so the play time is 60 minutes.
Yes.
Lots of stoppages.
Yes.
Obviously, in the US, in the NFL, there are lots of big money companies that want the advertising. The advertising 100%. Is obviously everywhere.
100%.
And it's very American, but that's what we love about the US, right? Yeah. It's very much there. It's in your face. It's like, look, advert again. And it really drills it into you. So that's interesting. I actually didn't realise it was 60 minutes. I actually thought it was a lot longer, but I guess your description of it is perfect, I guess. What's a training regime for an American football look like? Yeah, what does it really look like for an American footballer?
Okay, so I can't attest to pure NFL guys, the guys in the National Football League.
Let's say you then.
But for me, trying to emulate what they do, it comes in basically three phases. Once the season is over, you have your rehab phase. So that's more about getting the tendons and ligaments, etc., healthy, because oftentimes you're going to have done some damage to them.
Yeah.
Just because of the amount of contact you're taking and the twists and turns. Then you'll go into a strength building phase, and you might do a bit of deceleration and a little bit of plyometrics, but not too much. So that's like high speed, low amount of reps, as fast as you can, as powerfully as you can.
This would be maybe your preseason stuff?
Yes.
Yeah.
So normally you're going to do that later. You'll do the strength first. So that's about maybe 5 or 6 reps with a lot of weight, just smoothly. You want to be comfortable, smooth, and feel good.
Getting strong in
exactly
all the positions you need to be strong in.
And then the final phase will be, as I said, that plyometrics and power. So you want to build the strength first and then convert it into power, which is moving weight, heavy weight, as fast as possible, basically.
As fast as possible. Nice.
And that's how you build it.
And what would you say is unique in comparison to rugby or maybe different cultures like football or soccer?
I would say the main thing is just two things. The emphasis on the amount of natural strength you need, because you're going to get hit from so many different directions. It's a bit different in rugby. Normally you can predict where the hit's coming from.
Like an owl. Well, it's not like an owl. It's like 180.
I know what you mean.
So 180 degree, you're going to probably get hit
by. Exactly.
Potentially from behind.
If you made a line break, you might get hooked down.
Yeah.
But normally you can feel that coming. Whereas in football, I could turn towards my quarterback to catch the ball. And before I've turned back, I'm hitting the back. And you need that natural strength to be able to survive that contact over the course of a couple of weeks. And it's not hyperbole to say some NFL players are just world-class athletes in general, because their strength and power training is so advanced and they're so naturally gifted too. You combine the two with hard work as well and you get ridiculously powerful athletes.
Well, that you do. You really, really do. And you get, I've started, you'll have to correct me on this, but I've started seeing Fijians and Samoans in the NFL more and
especially
more.
Hawaii as well.
Yes.
There's a big culture about Hawaiians making the league.
Yeah, I've seen some stuff on this.
Yes.
Talk to me about this, because from a rugby background, myself and obviously yourself, and obviously you now play American football, we know how strong these individuals are. Not even just strong, like absolute genetic freaks of nature. Yes. And they're so big and so strong, and they still move. It's like a fridge freezer with legs.
Generally, yeah.
And it can move.
Yeah. So, like, the main thing for a coach is to be able to instill within an athlete like that, just a pure-born athlete, the skill set to now play football. And some people can't coach that. Some people can. So Jordan Mailata is an example. He came across, I think he was in New Zealand or Australia playing rugby league.
Yeah.
And then he was offered, without having played American football, a chance to try out in the NFL.
Okay.
And now he's a great player. He just won the Super Bowl. Yes.
Yeah, so because there are some UK boys. I say UK. Is it Louis Zammett or something?
Yeah, Louis Zammett. Yeah, for Wales.
And George, he's a gladiator now. George someone, I think George Russell or someone. He went to the Seahawks,
so, yeah, so they go through the international player pathway.
Yeah.
So it's adjacent to the draft and it's only for internationals.
Cool.
And so they will try and find a couple talented people, get them onto the teams. Mm. And the main mantra of that is they want to test you out for about 2 or 3 years, see if you have what it takes. Mm. And then if not, it's okay.
Yeah.
You might end up on a practice squad, you might bounce around, we might go back to your sport. But at least Louis Zammett can say he tried.
Yeah, yeah.
And he went out there and took the risk to go against some of the best athletes in the world and compete.
And he would have probably got paid pretty damn well.
You get paid handsomely.
Yeah, yeah, he would have got paid pretty damn well. Better than rugby, let's be honest.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so what sort of impact can American football have on younger... Is it played by women as well?
Yeah.
It is. So men and women in terms of... You know, discipline and kind of opportunities. How can it really impact them?
I can talk from my own experience, and I can talk from some of my friends' experience
Perfect.
Too. It gives you, so the word you used is the right word to use, discipline.
Mm.
American football is one of the most, depending on your position, one of the most specialized sports you can play.
Mm.
It's really specialized. You hone into your craft and your craft only, and you can't do a lot of other positions on the field. As a receiver or running back, I can't be a quarterback. I haven't trained enough years throwing a football, reading coverage to be able to do that.
Playbooks as well, that's a big thing.
Everyone
we'll get onto that afterwards.
Of course. And so it's a case of you have to be really disciplined and you have to have accountability. And that's what it taught me. I think it taught me a lot about holding myself accountable, because you can't turn up and just be an athlete.
Mm.
As you rightfully said, playbook. If you don't know your playbook, you don't see the field.
And it's okay.
It's really that. If you're an offensive player, mm. and you don't know what's going on, your coach won't put you in because you're a liability.
Okay. So, for the listeners,
yes.
unlike other sports where the starting team is the starting team,
yes.
you guys technically have two teams.
Yes.
Offense and defense.
Offense and defense. And special teams technically too. Which
oh, like, yeah, because I suppose...
It's a mix of both.
Yeah, because it's kickers and, yes. and blockers and so on. Okay.
Exactly.
So, how many positions in each team or division?
So, in... Again, using the NFL as the example, just because college teams can vary,
okay.
but the NFL is the standard. It's 53 men on a team,
okay.
and there's always 11 offensive starters,
yeah.
11 defensive starters.
Okay.
You're going to have a couple backups at different positions,
yeah.
a couple third-string guys for different formations. So that's mm-hmm. when you have, maybe you have three receivers on the field at once, mm. or four,
yeah.
or only one.
Depending on the play.
Exactly, depending Fine. On the play call.
Okay.
And then you're going to have, as you said rightfully, your kickers and your punters too.
Well, I've heard it's like a Premier League third-choice goalkeeper. Apparently, it's the best job to have in the world, a third-choice kicker in an NFL team. Apparently, it's the best job because you very, very, very rarely get used.
Yeah, it's one of... So, being a backup kicker, backup punter, and backup quarterback, being a backup quarterback, you make the most money to basically do nothing. Because, obviously, you're training and you're doing all the right things.
You're doing something you love.
Of course.
You're keeping fit. You're exactly. looking after yourself.
Exactly.
You're getting paid very handsomely to
yeah.
probably not really be involved.
You're not. If things go right, you should never see the field.
Yeah.
Because your quarterback, your kicker, and your punter should never get hurt.
Mm.
But if things go wrong,
yeah,
then you're the failsafe.
Yeah.
That's why you're needed.
Okay. Fascinating. That's really, really interesting. Because I know people that always talk about Scott Carson, who was at Man City.
Mm-hmm.
He got paid very, very well, and he never, ever had to play. I think he played like 8 games in like 6 years or something. It's crazy.
That's the dream.
Yeah, playing your sport and never actually having to play it.
Exactly.
What would you say to someone hoping to give American football a try? Where should they go? You mentioned at the start, if you look for it in the UK, it is everywhere.
Mm.
What's your bit of advice for them?
If you want to find a team, just search up your town and type in American football, mm-hmm. and the closest result will be a team. There's teams everywhere. There are teams in Scotland that play. We went up to Stirling, University of Nottingham. We went up to Stirling to play against them. And I'll tell you now, it looks like it's in the middle of nowhere, but there are American football fans there.
Oh, cool.
So there's teams everywhere. I will also say, in terms of finding a team, don't be scared, because it looks like a very violent sport.
Yeah.
But when everyone in the sport adheres to a certain level of violence and contact, it becomes safer for everyone involved.
Yeah, of course. We always say that in rugby.
Exactly. As long as you're not scared, you'll be fine.
Embrace the contact.
Yes.
Don't fear it. Because if you fear it, you're more likely to hurt yourself.
100%.
Because you're either braced so hard that you're rigid.
Yes.
Or you're so relaxed that you're going to hurt yourself because you're floppy.
Yes. generally, you're exactly right.
Yeah.
It's the same with football. You just need to... In the back of your head, you always need to expect contact and you'll be perfectly fine.
Yeah. Okay, nice. Good wise words. What would you say your proudest moment or most memorable moment for your career is so far?
I think I have... Oh, wow. Probably have two.
Okay.
My first start for the Great British National Team.
Amazing.
Because just the atmosphere of the game, we flew out to Milan. We were in their stadium.
Not bad.
A beautiful stadium. You have it's open, so you have the skyline.
Mm-hmm.
And skyscrapers in the background.
Nice.
Just at night, the atmosphere again. I probably haven't had that many people watch me play.
Cool.
Aside from my other moment, mm-hmm. which was, so I went to University of Nottingham and played football. And we had a final against UWE.
Yeah.
And
I'm with UWE.
Yeah, okay. We'll have to speak after. Yeah. But we had the final there. So I played in two finals. And the first one, it's probably the best game of football I've ever played in terms of the level of competition between us.
Yeah.
It was the best football I've played from perspective of it pushed me to a level I didn't know I had.
Okay, nice.
In terms of my play.
Yeah.
And because of that, it made me feel like, yeah, this might be the best moment in my football career.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Really, really nice stuff. Right. Last question.
Go ahead.
Okay. What one piece of advice would you give to someone who's, you know, ready to start their American football journey, or as you called it, their football journey?
Yes.
You know, obviously we know the sport is very physically demanding.
Mm-hmm.
We've already mentioned that if you look for it on Google, you can find it.
Yes.
Any other things that you would give advice for us? Piece of advice.
It's going to link into the conversation about the playbook.
Mm-hmm.
Just understand that football, every sport has plays, right? Every sport has moves that you have to do. Basketball has plays.
Mm-hmm.
Rugby actually has plays. The backs, they run moves.
Yes.
But football playbook is very intense and it's very intentional. It's a language in itself.
Mm.
Be very pedantic and get in your playbook. You don't ever want to be the guy that's the all-world talent but can't see the field because they didn't do the bits behind the doors, behind closed doors. You want to be in the playbook, hold yourself accountable, be in the gym and stretch. That's the one thing I wish I did when I was younger, stretch more.
Mobility, gotcha. Yes. Right. You have been a star.
Thank you.
My friend. Plug your socials. Where can people follow you? Where can people find you? You know, if they have any questions, can they reach out to you?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Go for it.
I'll give my Instagram. That's what I use the most.
Nice.
It's bolaji.ad. So I'll spell out bolaji.ad. I write a bit as well. So if you ever want to reach out to me there and read some of my writing, go ahead. I have some football highlights if you want to watch. I'm always down to talk football with people.
Mm-hmm.
Season's about to start. I'm about to do fantasy, so if they want to get involved, just reach out to me and we'll see.
Amazing. Bolaji, thank you so much for your time. Appreciate it. You have a great rest of your day.
Appreciate you having me.
Thank you. Right, guys, coming up after the break, we'll be joined by Team GB hockey player Tess Howard. So stick around for more.
FUBAR Radio.
Death, a funny business on FUBAR Radio with Becky Briggs and Natasha Spencer-Levy.
So we've got Dr. Matt Morgan. Someone's heart stopped beating for 8 hours.
So he was stuck on a ledge in a freezing snowstorm. And his heart stopped for an amazing 9 hours. He's still the world's longest surviving cardiac arrest patient. And he lived because he was cold. You know, there's a saying, you're not dead until you're warm and dead.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio. Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all FUBAR shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app. Just search for FUBAR Radio on the Apple and Google app stores. Yay! The FUBAR Radio app. Get it today. Get it today.
When you go abroad, everyone knows the best way to make yourself understood is to just say everything in English, but louder.
Four beers, please, garçon!
If only there was a way that could work with your advertising campaign. Well, there is. And you're listening to it. Because when you amplify your advertising with radio, 40 million listeners every week get the message. See radio differently at radiocentre.org.
One in five people in the UK are disabled, and it's not always visible. So if we've made ourselves at home in priority spaces on the bus or train, surrounded by our shopping bags or bikes, we could be making it harder for the people who need that space more than us. So let's not forget about the people we share our journeys with, and keep priority spaces clear for others. Remember, it's everyone's journey.
That Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum on FUBAR Radio.
Let's go back to the beginning. A mortgage advisor. What does a mortgage advisor do?
So, the main purpose of a mortgage advisor is to help you to achieve the best possible mortgage solution on time and first time. Typically, in the modern day, it's somebody who's going to hold your hand through the full home buying process, liaising with solicitors, estate agents, helping with insurance, and yeah, being in your corner on your team to make sure you achieve that goal.
With Bobby Norris.
We are joined by Miss Safia. If I could produce you a salt, what is he like on paper? Sound like we're on Love Island.
Okay, on paper, my type has to have a good soul, good purpose and calm energy. I'm in my energy era where you've just got to come in and make me happy. I don't need you for anything. I want to find happiness and I need him to be kind.
Follow us at What The Health Show for more with George. This is What The Health.
Welcome back to What The Health on FUBAR Radio with me, George Bertineau. Joining me now is Team GB Olympian Tess Howard, who is also the founder of Inclusive Sportswear. Tess, good morning. How are you? Tess, hello, are you there? Guys, we are going to quickly move over to some listener questions because I don't think Tess is here at the moment. So we have a listener question, which is what foods are best to eat in a weight loss phase? Right. So I've actually recently been looking at something like this, and this is actually super, super fascinating stuff. So we have something called the satiety index, which is basically an index of food that keeps you full for long. And I go on about this time and time again and week in, week out, and I always get people asking me, what is a good food to eat? What's best to eat? And so on and so forth. So, sounds crazy, but a boiled white potato is at the top of the list, absolutely flying high. So they grade it, they give it a number, right? So this one is in a league of its own, and it's basically out of 350, and this is like 320, followed by fish or white fish, which would be about 225. And then we've got followed by oatmeal, which would be about 200, and then oranges, apples, brown pasta, steak are all pretty close to each other. And then it starts to really, really drop off. We've got things like baked beans. Sounds crazy, but super, super, super filling, and they keep you full for longer. Right, I think we have Tess. So let me just double check. Tess, hello, are you there? I do not hear Tess. Yeah, I do not hear Tess. I'm going to continue quickly with the satiety index, and we're going to see if Tess can get her mic to work. These things happen from time to time, people. Do not stress. Then, as I was saying, so baked beans, and then followed by, sounds crazy, another selection of fruit, which is grapes. Popcorn is pretty high up there, if I'm honest with you. And it sounds crazy, but this is also calculated on about 240 calories worth of food. Okay? So that's how they're kind of grading it. They're grading it on about 240 calories worth of food. So, oh, I heard noise. Tess, hello.
Yeah, oh, this is very strange.
We are working. It is okay. I'm going to stop talking about foods that fill you up for a long time, and we are going to move straight over to Tess. Tess, good morning. How are you?
Morning. Sorry about that.
No, it's fine. Technical issues happen. I'm just excited to be able to talk to you now because we've got some super interesting stuff to be talking about, and it's exciting. So, guys, joining me now is Tess Howard, who is the founder of Inclusive Sportswear. So, Tess, we're going to jump straight into it. Tell us what made you want to start an inclusive sportswear brand.
Well, my non-profit is all about creating inclusive sports kit policies for schools, because we know that PE kit is a massive barrier to lots of girls getting into sport and being in sport. So inclusive sportswear was sort of my thing after changing the rules in hockey. Basically, I campaigned to try and wear shorts in hockey for the last 3 years. In 2023, it was changed. You can wear shorts now, which
really?
Is fantastic. But
okay,
it's it's sort of a passion project off the back of not being able to wear what I wanted to wear. And it's a massive issue for girls across the country.
Yeah, I mean, I have no doubt. I mean, I think the whole school uniform in itself is probably quite a big problem as well. But I think this is great. So for... The question would be, is why is it so important to get women into sport at a young age and so they can feel comfortable in the PE equipment that they're wearing?
Well, it's massive. I mean, 64% of girls drop out by age 16. That
crazy,
is pretty alarming. Yet we know recent research from ASICS through this campaign called the Undropped Kit, we found that 75% would stay in sport and enjoy PE more if they had better kit. So you know, we know that sport is such an important thing for mental health, physical health. Mm-hmm. There are barriers that can be lifted. And this is what we are trying to shed a light on today, is the impact of PE kit and the quick, easy fixes that you can do to help girls stay in sport.
What is really quite concerning is if governing bodies and people actually listened to the consumer, things would be so much simpler. Barriers to entry would probably absolutely fly off the handle, and it would be so much easier to have more people participate if they actually listened to people. But it's like they don't want to. Now, I obviously don't want to say too much on that, but, you know, that's...
You're completely right. I mean, I had to campaign for years to even be able to wear shorts in hockey.
I find that baffling, by the way. I don't get the concept. I mean, maybe you'll be able to help me with this. And, you know, this isn't my area of expertise. But, like, surely wearing shorts, or what was the other choice? A skirt?
Yeah, a skirt.
Like... What technically,
yeah,
like?
Well, you know, it's just all these
help me.
Kits, you know, PE kit and hockey kit is entrenched in tradition.
Yeah.
And so there's a certain way that a girl should look when they play sport. But it's the 21st century now, and women's sport has taken off. Our lionesses run around in shorts, you know what I mean? We don't have these stereotypes. We don't need to enforce stereotypes anymore for girls to play sport. So the whole thing in hockey was just to show that choice was important. And if some people like tradition, that's totally fine if they feel comfortable. But the choice was the issue. And in this Inclusive Sportswear worked with ASICS to create this incredible new kit concept called Undropped Kit. And it's showing that choice can be given at PE kit level. So you can still look smart. You still look like a team. You still have team belonging. But you're allowed to feel comfortable in wearing different items. It's really key.
Yeah, and I mean, the fact that you're working with ASICS is amazing. Like, such a huge company and such a huge brand. So what is special about the Undropped Kit? Obviously, you said it's about looking smart, looking, you know, you can still look like a teen. But, you know, will it help boost young girls' confidence in sport? You know, is that part of the aim as well, to boost the numbers and help people feel great about themselves?
It's the only aim, to be honest. Great. The only aim is to keep girls participating and feeling confident. And I think the big difference about this kit is that it was made with the girls, you know, so they, in Burnley High School, the girls were part of designing it and giving their feedback about what they didn't like and what they would like, you know, things like an emergency hair tie. I mean, you wouldn't think that that could be your on your zipper, but that's pretty cool. Things like an appropriate raincoat, because you're in the north of England and you're going to need a raincoat. Things like being able to wear leggings, shorts, or a skort, and all of them looking pretty much the same, you know, that sense of community and belonging there. So they're sort of little innovative nuances that make a kit. And you know, that's even at the elite level, we need to think about these.
If you think about it, if you can bring this in, you know, obviously you've campaigned for shorts at the top end of the scale, right? When you then start to get your kits out there, what does it do? It's like with anything. You go and see your favourite footballer or your favourite hockey player with a stick or with some boots. What does it make you want to do? Buy the product and obviously be able to move forwards and improve and feel more confident. Yes, I think Tess is frozen. Well, looks like I'm going to go back to my satiety index by the sounds of it. Right, well, going back onto food, what a shame. We'll hopefully try and get Tess back in a second. Going to have to quickly switcheroo and get me telephone out. Where was I? So, just a little reminder, I was talking about the satiety index. So for anyone who is listening, this is foods that keep you fullest for longer. So if you struggle with your hunger levels or not being full, then guess what? Listen up, because this is going to be pretty damn helpful. I was onto popcorn. Thinking of popcorn, I'd quite like some actually right now. So popcorn is the highest snack or treat on there. And Tess is back. Tess, can you hear me?
But like, you're going between talking about different foods and my Zoom just started. It's crazy.
Okay.
But anyway,
it's
good fun.
Fine. It's okay. It's really good practice for me. I'm hungry now because I'm talking about food. Then I'm talking about all-inclusive kits and, you know, hockey. And I'm like, what's going on? But, you know, happy.
You were just on one about shorts. I was enjoying it.
I was completely lost my train of thought. But, yes, what I was saying is, you know, it's going to be really, really good to actually boost individuals' confidence, because it's like with anything, right? If someone who likes you, supports you, watches what you wear on the pitch, correct? There's no different word for a hockey.
Yeah. Feels good.
Yeah, field.
Pitch,
okay.
Good.
And then all of a sudden they like your hockey stick, or they like your shoes, or they like what you're wearing, or they like your kit. All of a sudden a team puts together, you know, money, and then they go and buy the kit. And then all of a sudden it's like, it's also about, like we said, feeling good and being confident. So when you look the best, you know, you get that improved performance. It's like I swear there's a psychological factor, or there's a actual element of research out there that backs that. If you feel good when you play sport, you play a percentage better. I'm not sure what the percentage is, but
definitely that was huge for me. I scored my first hat trick in shorts. Am I allowed to say that? That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Went to Olympics in shorts, so I think it has a big impact. But on the mental health side, that's so important. This campaign was also in partnership with Mind, the mental health charity, and so we wanted to connect up the physical kit with the importance of inclusivity and feeling like you belong, but also that mental health side. And I think when we think of PE Kit, I know this is called What the Health, you know.
Yes.
And this is a public health issue because PE Kit is stopping girls playing sport. And so if you look at it in that way, from a public health, mental and physically, then you can really see why it is so important to invest and take this really seriously.
Yeah, well, and that's exactly why, you know, we wanted you to come on and talk so openly about it, because it's so important, because this is something that clearly needs to be addressed. And I want to move on to a little bit about you now. Is that okay?
Yeah, of course.
Great. So you are, of course, an Olympic athlete. Pretty damn cool. And you're an incredible hockey player. Did you ever experience any barriers, you know, to the sport at a younger age? Because obviously you've spoken about your work to get the shorts in the sport.
Yeah.
When you were younger.
I started playing rugby when I was younger, but then girls couldn't play rugby anymore, so I switched to hockey. But classically, I was playing rugby in shorts and then got given the score as soon as I went to hockey. And I was like, you know, at that age, I was like, okay, I guess this is what you have to wear. But I always had body image issues the whole way up until probably 2 years ago when I started wearing shorts, because I train in shorts every day and I feel really confident, but I had always felt insecure around my abdomen area, and there's something that my teammates felt as well, but just didn't think that they could maybe like do anything about it. But I was a bit different. I sort of thought, there's something I can do.
Yeah, but that's what leaders do, right? They lead by example, and they get shit done. You know, that's the long and short of it, really.
Oh, well, the nice thing is that when we first ran out in 2023 at the Euros with half and half, it was half shorts, half skorts, because members of my team realised that they felt more comfortable in shorts and they could come to that on their own. I think that's the whole thing about this choice, is that you don't have to want to wear one thing.
No.
You get to choose.
Yeah, of course. I get that.
Yeah.
Right, so can you take us back to the moment you first dreamed of becoming an Olympian? You know, what sparked the actual ambition to, you know, you played rugby and then you played hockey. Was it, you know, you were like, oh, I'm actually quite good at this, or you're just like, oh, I really enjoy this?
Yeah, I have a sport mad family, and also I just felt free on the hockey pitch. You know, it's tough growing up. And the one place that I felt I could be fully myself was on the hockey pitch. When I first so-called dreamt of the Olympics, London 2012, my dad took me to go and watch some of the events, and I was just blown away by it. The spectacle of sport on our home turf was incredible. Even going to watch the fencing, I was like, this is amazing.
That's a cool sport,
I watched the women hockey team play, and I ended up playing with one of those players at the Olympics.
Oh, that's really cool. Well, that was going to kind of take me on to the next kind of question I have for you. What did it feel like representing Team GB on that global stage? Like, can you describe the feeling? The fact that you watched someone and then you ended up being their teammates. Teammates, pretty damn cool in itself, but, you know.
Yeah, I think the magnitude of the Olympics is the most incredible thing. I was so in awe of the Olympic movement, what it stood for, the international solidarity, the sort of example that all athletes share. You know, we all stay in the same village. I mean, the athlete village is a whole other story.
I have heard. I have friends that have done it and stuff. So yeah, I know.
Yeah. I actually missed out on Tokyo Olympics because I ruptured my ACL 3 months before it.
Yeah.
So being able to go to Paris and have my family there was doubly special for that reason.
Yeah, well, I was literally about to ask you. So I was going to say, you missed out on the 2020 Tokyo Olympics due to a knee injury. So you said it was an ACL, yeah?
Yeah,
and
pretty harsh.
Yes, pretty harsh indeed. But you are back, fit, raring to go. What was it like to miss out on, you know, that kind of Tokyo Olympics?
Well, it was heartbreaking. I mean, to not be able to play your sport as well for a whole year is really tough. Mm-hmm. Go through grueling rehab, have an operation, etc. And it's quite prevalent in sport. But you know, I think when you find out, you know, that Tom Brady does his ACL and comes back even stronger, you sort of feel, you know, you feel like you got a good group of you that go through it. So yeah. I felt like as long as I came back as stronger, and it was actually the second tournament of that summer when I came back, we won the Commonwealth Games.
So amazing.
There's a very, very funny video of me crying after it, saying, we will come back and we will win the Commonwealth Games, and we ended up doing it.
Love that. Absolutely love that. You wrote it yourself. You manifested it. With an ACL injury, you know, it's a tough one. Like you said, it's a long process, operations, lots of rehab, lots of time on the side. How did you prepare mentally after this injury?
To keep myself really busy, and a big part was doing this, you know, doing research in this area, my undergrad, and just keeping my mental state going. But, you know, I can't lie, I went through a pretty tough patch and, you know, fell into a bit of a depression, grieving stages.
Yeah.
And to look at myself in the mirror and think, do I really want this? And I think when you're in your lowest of lows, you find out who you are. And the mental side, like you always say, you come back stronger, but I don't actually, I did come back very physically strong, of course, because you're in the gym all the time, but the mental strength, now things don't really throw me. And, you know, small injuries, I get over really quickly because of that mental resilience that you build up.
Well, I mean, I don't know if this quote is word for word, but there's a reason why the front windscreen is bigger than the rear view mirror, because what's in front of you is more important than what's behind you. Pretty sure that's it. So I think that's pretty much what you've summarized, right? You didn't look back, you got past it, and now when you have these small niggles, when you have these small injuries, you just think, nah, nothing can beat me, I'm better than this, and I'm going to come back stronger. And I think that's the biggest thing. You're looking in front, the windscreen is a lot bigger than the rearview mirror. Right, so you did come back to score in the final, didn't you, to help England win gold at the Commonwealth Games? That's correct?
I did. I was the lucky one to deflect it in.
Oh, I mean, came off the old stick. The old,
yep,
it is hockey stick, right? It's not, there's no code word for it or anything like that.
You've got it right.
I don't want to butcher terminologies and stuff, and I'm terrible for it. So I don't want to be like calling it a stick and it not be. So yeah, so what was your regime to get back on the pitch kind of after the Commonwealth Games and winning gold? You know, was there lots of recovery? Were there lots of games shortly after? How did it all work?
It was 10 months of strength training. Basically, they took part of my hamstring and put it into my knee.
The hamstring
graft, so
that
became
a
tendon. Yeah, hamstring graft, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I had to recover both my hamstring and my knee and my quads and everything. Mm-hmm. So it was massive muscle atrophy, and then you have to rebuild. So it takes, you know, then your graft has to take. So it took 10 months, and then it was gradual return to hockey, which is, you know, super high pace, change of direction, everything the ACL is needed for. So it took a bit longer to get back. And then my debut match back was in Germany, and it was a wonderful moment. We actually beat Germany for the first time since 2017, so it was a great moment to be part of it.
That's amazing. That is absolutely amazing. So last question from me, okay? What is your proudest moment as a Team GB player?
Proudest moment, running out onto the pitch at Paris, for sure. For everything, the fact that I was wearing shorts, the fact that I was at the Olympics after the injury, and then also just to be with my teammates who had supported me through those moments was really special. Singing the national anthem, I'm a sucker for it.
Nice, special moment, very, very special moment. Right, Tess, so we've got time for. I just want to thank you so much for being here. And do you have any socials that you can plug for us? You know, for those that want to get involved and learn more about Undropped Kit, where should they go?
Yeah, absolutely. Go to the ASICS website, and you can go to Inclusive Sportswear. That's my website. And go and join the movement. Inclusive Sportswear has training and guidance ready for you to use on the website. So please go sign up and go check it out on Asics's website. It's the video, by the way, is amazing. I cried when I first watched it, so I'd definitely go watch that.
I'll make sure we check it out. Well, Tess, thank you.
Oh, and myself.
Yes,
sorry.
Obviously.
Myself, Howard Tess. Howard _ Tess at Instagram. Forgot.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Tess, for your time. You have a great rest of your day, and we'll speak to you soon.
Thanks, bye.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye. Right, guys, coming up after the break, we'll be doing some listener questions and some viral TikTok trends, so stick around for more.
Foobar Radio. Couple Goals with Sophie Kasai and Jordan Brooke.
Maura Higgins,
that's a Geordie Shaw thing,
has scrubbed a shitty toilet with her ex-boyfriend's toothbrush. Why did she do this?
He's obviously done something very bad.
Do we know who he is? Does anybody know who he is?
No, but I mean, I don't think he'd want to know who he is.
No.
I think he'd probably go and hide in now, whoever that is.
Mate, if you're listening to this, go and buy a new toothbrush because you've still got the same one.
Get yourself to Turkey and get yourself some Vineyards because I can't imagine them teeth are going to last much longer.
No.
You're listening to Foobar Radio. Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all Foobar shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app. Just search for Foobar Radio on the Apple and Google App Stores. Yay! The Foobar Radio app. Get it today. Get it today.
When it comes to heart attacks, you might be surprised to hear the symptoms don't always feel severe. You could experience a squeezing across the chest, a feeling of unease, a sense something's not quite right. Don't be tempted to dismiss the signs and wait to see what happens. The faster you seek medical help, the better your chances. It's never too early to call 999 and describe your symptoms. Your NHS is here for you.
It was calm on the beach, so I took my little girl out on the water. Then we hit the wind, and it blew us out to sea, faster than we could paddle back. And we learned our lesson from these guys, the crew who got us home. Thank you.
Respect the water and watch out for the winds. In an emergency, call 999 and ask for the Coast Guard.
Death. A funny business on Foobar Radio with Becky Briggs and Natasha Spencer-Levy.
The lovely Matt Phipps.
Hello.
The thing that surprised me most was how much joy I took in being like making people feel really uncomfortable. It's so
Amen.
Good. So good.
Your mum jokes change completely.
My friend the other day, she was like, "How tall is your mum?" And I was like, "Oh, she's 6 feet under." Yeah, they did not know what to do with that. Yeah. And then you let it hang in the air.
Yeah.
Politics Uncensored.
We kind of act like COVID didn't happen. Well, do you think it's had a lasting impact, at least on that young generation that experienced it?
The legacy of it in schools, you see the legacy of it in people's mental health. We're seeing the legacy of it even in public services, even in hotels, hospitality. Everything was stripped back to the bone, and the UK did not have the resilience to recover. So I think we are still definitely living in a post-COVID society where nothing really works as well as it did. If you think things were damaged by Brexit, things were double damaged by COVID.
What the hell? With Georges Bertineau, exclusively on Foobar Radio.
Hello and welcome back to What the Health with me, Georges Bertineau. Right, I'm going to answer some of your burning questions. And if you want to get involved, you can DM us at What the Health Show on Instagram. But before that, today we're going to break down some viral TikTok gym advice. Let's cut through the myth and break down the real advice for your successful workouts and for your goals. So first, we have the best five gym tips. So there's five pictures in this carousel. So the first one is eat clean. And this is going to probably shock a lot of you. I'm not a big fan of this. I'm a huge fan of 80-20. Because why are you going to rush 3 months when you could get 6 months progress and do half the work? Like, you don't have to put in 100% for 3 months. If you put 80% in for 6 months, you'll probably have better results than you would in 3 months. Because in 3 months' time, most people struggle sticking to things for more than about 2 to 6 weeks. You know, that's the main problem. So eating clean, yes. But don't make that your whole personality. God, I couldn't think of anything worse. All these Instagram influencer people being like, oh, look, I eat this, I eat that. I'm like, bore off. You've got the personality of a brick wall. Next. Right. Progressive overload. Yes, yes, yes. If you want to get a big bottom, you want to get better legs, you want to get big juicy biceps, you want to grow your chest, you want to get a bigger back, you want to grow muscle tissue, this is a must. I repeat myself time and time again, RIR is the terminology you need. That is reps in reserve. Science is being conducted all the time. You need to realize that if your first rep looks like your last rep, guess what? You're not doing it properly. Well, that's a problem. So I would always say to people, anywhere between 1 and 3 reps in reserve. 0 is for your final week of the program. I'm not going to get into it in too much depth because we've got other things to cover. But 1 to 3 reps in reserve is the absolute pot of gold at the end of a rainbow. And guess what? I'm a gym leprechaun. Next, don't skip cardio. Now, if your cardio consists of going on a treadmill and running, newsflash, you can walk. Why would you run when you can walk? Yes, the cardiovascular benefits are absolutely fantastic. But actually, walking is a form of cardio. And actually, the science backs that anything more than about 8,000 steps, the tail off isn't worth it. So you end up doing 16,000 steps for such a minimal amount of gain. So 7 to 8 is what I say to a lot of people. Maybe 9, maybe 10, but not everyone needs it. The larger you are, the more calories you burn from walking. Think of it that way. So if you're a very large individual and you want to walk 10,000 steps, you will make amazing progress, but your body will adapt to it very quickly. Number 4, getting enough sleep. Holy Lord, this is 10. Absolutely must. If you do not sleep, you will never, ever, ever really make progress. You can, and you will, but it's like the most important thing. Just 8 hours. I'm not asking, well, 7 to 9, there you go. We're not going to say 8. 7 to 9 is great. 6, meh. 5, wouldn't bother. 10, poor. God, I hate to think how you feel after that. I would feel awful. Number 5, never forget how people treat you when your heart was pure. I'm not really sure what this means. I think this person has been hurt many times. Celine? Not sure how to pronounce your name. Clearly very popular on TikTok, so fantastic to whoever you may be. Yeah, I guess. Never forget how people treated you when your heart was pure. Let's move on to the next one. So, gym tips for beginners. Tommy, best foods for muscle and energy. Eggs, chicken, salmon, Greek yogurt, beef, sweet potato, rice, vegetables, bananas, watermelon, apple, avocados. Yeah, not bad. I'm not going to list the satiety scale because I've done that about 4 times today. And I think you guys are bored of that list. So, yeah, that's a pretty good list. Food to avoid. Full sugar drinks. 1,000,000% avoid. Fast food. You know, treat yourself every 10 days. Every 9, 10 days is a great thing. Processed meats. I mean, dried meats are great. But yeah, processed, avoid. Full fat yogurt. They're not bad for gut biome. So probably wouldn't say avoid that. White chocolate. What did white chocolate do to anyone? I think it tastes great. Candy. Yeah, avoid. Ice cream. No, ice cream's great. Especially Halo Top. So Halo Top, if you're listening, hello, my name's Georges. I'd love to work with you. Ice cream is great. Low calorie ice cream is great. It tastes good. It keeps you from not cheating and not kind of ruining all the hard work from the week. So yes, that is great. And finally, best recovery hacks. 8 hours sleep. This man knows his stuff. Thank you, Tommy. Rest days, 1 to 2 a week. Fantastic. balanced macro-focused diet, correct proper hydration, 3 liters and above, managing chronic stress. Not sure how you do that if you're just chronically stressed all of your life. Right, guys, and that is it from me. Just a massive thank you to Balajay and Tess, who's joined us today. Very insightful and super knowledgeable guests as always. A reminder, you can download the app and listen each week and follow us on social media. We are at What The Health Show on Instagram. If you are interested in some help with your health and fitness journey, I do provide a top-tier coaching service which separates me from the rest. You can contact me at George Burt on Instagram. The show will be available to listen back to on all good podcasting platforms. A massive thank you from me. A reminder that I'm back next week at 11 a.m. for another jam-packed show. I'm George. Thanks for listening. Have a great day. Love you. Bye.